Well, man, it is great to be with you this morning, and I'm reminded of God's incredible goodness. Everything he creates for us is good. I had the opportunity this week. It was amazing to, I did two weddings this weekend. Man, it was amazing. And I'm just reminded in that God has given us so many incredible gifts that sometimes we just pass by and we take for granted. But marriage, man, marriage is good. Amen? You need to say that a little louder, right? So your spouse can hear it. Is marriage good or what? Amen, amen. Everything God gives us is good. And it's so much fun to celebrate what is good. And God is good, amen? Well, we're in week four of this series that we're calling I Am, where we're looking at seven statements in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is using some amazing metaphors to describe who he really is. We spoke in week one about why this statement, I am, was so powerful, but also so controversial at the time when Jesus said it. It was powerful because the phrase, I am, Yahweh, was the sacred name of God, the name that God gave when Moses in the burning bush says, hey God, who are you? Who am I supposed to tell the people is sending me? Who is this God that we're following? And he says, I am that I am. And I keep reminding us of this. I am that I am means he is who he says he is. He is not who we always think he is, right? And that became a problem for the Pharisees and other people because who they thought Jesus should be, who they thought God was sending, they kind of got that mixed up. And any confusion in that is on our part, right? And so God is amazing. He's so good. And this powerful name he used reminded us that Jesus was saying in no uncertain terms, he was God. And obviously that became incredibly problematic for the religious leaders of the day who couldn't handle that. He didn't kind of measure up to what they expected. And they ended up using that line, that phrase, Jesus calling himself God, as a reason to have him crucified. But we know that Jesus was the one who was truly in control in that setting. And this week, we're going to take a look at one of these other I am statements. In fact, this week we're going to tackle two of them. They're both found in the same chapter, John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. And so that song was so perfect to set all this up. Early in Jesus' ministry, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said this. He was ministering to all the crowds, and he was healing people and teaching and all these things. And it says this. It says, Jesus traveled throughout all of the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, now catch this part, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I mean, Jesus looked out and he had this great compassion because people looked like, man, they're just confused, they're lost, they're wandering, they're helpless and harassed, some translations say. So if you've ever felt helpless or harassed, if you have ever felt vulnerable, abandoned, lost, like you were just wandering, Jesus wants you to experience his compassion, his protection. He wants you to experience his incredible love. And this morning, more than anything else, we want you to know that you are loved by him. And this morning, we hope that you'll allow him to be your good shepherd. Maybe you've wandered off the path and you need to get back with the good shepherd. He's searching for you. Maybe you've never met the good shepherd. Maybe you're a wandering lost sheep and you're like, man, that's where I need to be. We just hope that this morning you will allow Jesus to be who he wants to be, and that's your good shepherd. Now, I love stupid criminal stories. I don't know about you, right? People send them to me all the time. I made a comment like that one time, and so people keep sending me these. I just love seeing criminals get what's coming to them. I don't know if it's some weird nature, you know, that I have. I need to practice God's grace maybe just a little bit more, right? But I love seeing them get what's coming to them. Or maybe it's just because it makes me feel like the stupid things that I do really aren't quite that bad. But I read this story about an 18-year-old. His name is Charles A. Merriweather. He broke into a home in northwestern Baltimore on the night of November 22nd, and he went through the homeowner, he got inside, and he went through the homeowner's purse, right, that she had left sitting on a table. And he only found $11.50 in the purse, all right? But he was so upset that that's all he found that he went in and woke up the homeowner and said, "How in the world do you even pay your bills?" Right? And so obviously she startled and she said, "Well, I write checks." So then he ordered her to write a check out for $50. She said, "Who should I make it out to?" Right? And he proceeded to say, "Charles A. Merriweather," that's Merriweather with an I, and proceeded to spell it out for her. Okay? Then he added, "It better not bounce or I'll be back." Merriweather was arrested a few hours later. You know, I mean, and don't you love the stories of the criminals that come in and the store owner actually stands his ground, right? And actually is like, I mean, there's just something about that. There's just something about that that seems right. Now, with that in mind, I want you to join me in John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. It says this, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I mean, then after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Now, that's the first section. We're going to cover a little bit more. But first off, there's these different characters in this story, in this parable that Jesus tells, right? The first is there's the thief or the robber, right? He's always looking for a way in, looking out for their own interests at the expense of other people, okay? And we're going to find out more about him. Now, who does that represent in the parable? Who's the representation of who? Okay, yeah, Satan, the devil, okay? Yeah, so no, somebody said mother-in-law, that is not true. Erase that from your mind. They're wonderful people, so no. So the thief, there's the shepherd, right? And he has a relationship with these sheep. He owns them. He's the owner of the sheep. He cares for them. He feeds them. He protects them. And so who does that represent in our story? Come on, you guys who went to Sunday school, who's that represent? Yeah, Jesus, God the Father, right? Yes, he is the good shepherd. Now then, there's the sheep, okay? Now, they are dumb. They are helpless, if you know anything about sheep. Sheep don't know how to feed themselves, okay? Sheep have no natural defenses, right? Take a look at a sheep. They don't have, like, a hard shell. They're not camouflaged. They stand out. They're just white. They don't have any spikes, claws, fangs. They don't fly, so they can't fly away. They don't spit poison or breathe fire, even though that would be kind of cool, okay? Especially to show your kids. So, but, I mean, instead sheep are like these fluffy, slow-moving, kind of dumb animals. There's nothing fierce at all about a sheep, right? So when Jesus uses the sheep thing, now who does a sheep represent? Yeah, very good. Now what does that say about us, right? Yeah, it wasn't meant, Jesus, when he's like the sheep, it wasn't like a flattering thing. It actually shows us who we really are, that we are in desperate need of a shepherd. I mean, let's just admit it. We are not capable of saving ourselves. We're prone to wander off. We're prone to get lost. Anybody get lost this week? Man, I'm really good at getting myself lost. And we're in desperate need of a shepherd who will guide us, who will care for us, who will lead us. But often, instead of depending on Jesus to lead us and guide us, we look to other things, other people to fill that role. Some of us think that finances would provide safety and protection. Some of us, we think the job, right, our career or something gives us meaning and purpose. Some of us expect our spouse to fill, you know, voids in our life or give us a feeling of acceptance. Some of us look to our parents. And today, honestly, there are some parents that I look at, and they're looking at their kids to give them meaning and purpose. And man, that just messes everything up. It's not the way that God designed things. I mean, some of us look towards teachers and coaches, politicians even, and we think that they're going to add meaning to our life or they're going to take care of us. And now, these people aren't bad. These things aren't bad. They just can't be everything that we need. And it's really an unfair thing to put that expectation on people. But we do it, don't we? We do that all the time. But only Jesus is the good shepherd. Only Jesus can fulfill the longings of every part of our heart. And this verse tells us that his sheep recognize his voice. So really, the sheep aren't that dumb after all, right? I mean, they recognize his voice. They remember his voice. How do you learn to recognize somebody's voice when you think about it? You know, if people in your family, they call on the phone, you automatically recognize their voice, right? I mean, people that you're around a lot. So it's really by hearing the voice a lot, okay? Not one time, not occasionally, but hearing the voice a lot. And the question this morning is this: are you spending a lot of time hearing God's voice through his word, through prayer, when you're listening in prayer? These things help us recognize God's voice, and they help us know who he is, what he's doing, and we can follow him. If you don't know his voice, and if you don't know his voice well, there are a lot of other competing voices out there in the world that will try to tell you that they've got the way for you to go. There's a lot of competing voices out there that will say, hey, come follow me, I've got something great for you. But those voices will only lead you to places that in the end can't satisfy the longings of our hearts. And so if you know his voice, you'll be able to differentiate from those wrong voices. You know, I mean, it's something funny all the time. My daughters, a couple of them especially, their voice sounds a lot like Brenda's, right? And so there's sometimes when, like, I'll call home, and all of a sudden I kind of hear this voice, and I kind of do this little pause, and they'll try to make me think it's Brenda, right? And but it doesn't last very long, right? Because pretty quickly, I just sit there and pause for a moment, and I'm like, go get your mother, right? But, they're trying to joke around. They're trying to trick me. It happens all the time. And you know what? There are voices in the world that are trying to trick us as well. There are voices out there trying to get you to follow them when instead we know we want to follow Jesus, but we've got to familiarize ourselves with his voice. And we need to really spend time listening so we can differentiate between the voices. Now, if the voice in your head, now I know that sounds kind of crazy, but can we all be real this morning? We all have voices in our head, right? Okay? In fact, I'd kind of worry about you if you didn't have some things. Now, again, if it gets to a, extreme, come talk to me. We've got good people you can talk to, okay? But the reality is there are always things, and we talk to ourselves at an incredible rate, but there's always some voices that are in our head. And if those voices are constantly tearing you down, if those voices are constantly telling you that you're unworthy, if they're constantly reminding you of your sin that you thought that you had, confess to God and were forgiven for, and it's just rubbing you in and constantly trying to get you to feel shame of past sins and stuff like that, I can tell you this, okay? That is not the voice of the Savior. That is not the voice of the Good Shepherd. That voice comes straight out of the pits of hell, and you should, like this verse says, you should run from that. The problem that for most of us is we start entertaining these voices. We start wondering, is that voice real? Is that voice true? Those voices that try to shame you, tear you down, all those things, folks, you have to run from those. Yeah, and God gives us the power to do that. You know, one of the little things that I've gotten used to doing is as soon as I recognize those voices that try to tell me, Ken, you don't measure up. Ken, you're not good enough. Ken, remember this sin that you did back here? Remember this thing? And even though I know that you asked for forgiveness, that thing was so bad that maybe, could God really forgive you? Those kinds of voices, man, immediately we should recognize that and differentiate that and say, that's not the voice of my Savior. That's not the voice of the one who died for me. And we should just be able to look at that voice and say, hey, you know what? In the name of Jesus Christ who saved me, get away. We've got to learn to run from, just like these sheep know, that run away from those voices and cling to the voice that comes to us and reminds us that we are loved and that we are treasured. Those are the voices of our Heavenly Father, the voices that turn us back in His direction. And so Jesus wants to be our good shepherd. In John chapter 10, starting in verse 6, he starts talking about this idea that He is the gate. It says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what He meant. So He explained it to them, okay? I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So what does it mean that Jesus is the gate? I mean, there's some great illustration to that that comes out of this time period when there were a lot of shepherds. There was a guy named George Adam Smith. He was an Englishman. He was famous for writing. He was kind of the first, like, travel guy, right? He traveled around and wrote about his travels. And he was writing about a time that he was in the Middle East, and he came upon a sheepfold. And when he came upon the sheepfold, he looked at the shepherd, and he said, so, hey, that's where the sheep go at night. Yes, the shepherd replied, and when they are in there, they are perfectly safe. But then he looked at it, and he says, there's no door on there. There's no gate. And the Englishman said, the shepherd said, I am the door. Okay? He said, what do you mean that you're the door? And the shepherd answered, when the light has gone out and all the sheep are inside, I lie down in that open space and no sheep ever goes out across my body and no wolf ever comes in unless he tries to cross my body because I am the gate. So when Jesus said he's the door of the sheep, the gate for the sheep, and that the fold has only one entrance. Life has only one source. Spiritual nourishment is only obtained in one way. Heaven can be entered through only one entrance, and the single means of access of all those things is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the gate. He is our way in. He is our Savior. He is the one that protects us. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Some people say, well, Ken, that sounds very narrow-minded. And I would say, yes, it is. Because there's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 10 again. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, think about it for a minute. What things are trying to rob us of life? Trying to, you know, the good life that God wants for us. What kind of things are trying to kill our passions, kill our dreams? I mean, think of all the avenues that people go down to try to lead them into different things, the voices that people follow. I mean, pleasures, power, possessions, performance, position, all these things. All of those things promise life, but they can never completely deliver. And Jesus says that His purpose has come to give us, and I like this New Living Translation way, it says, to give us a rich and satisfying life. Now, Jesus, He goes on to quantify this life. He says it's rich, it's satisfying. And some translations say an abundant life. Others say a life to the full. But what is meant here by this word is to have an overabundance. It means to have like a superabundance of something. So to be the follower of Jesus means to have a superabundance of life. I mean, life in Jesus gives new vitality, new meaning, new energy, new purpose, new significance, a new outlook, new hope, a new joy. New life in Jesus is incredible, and it's abundant. It's like, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, it's like a life upgrade, right? I mean, anybody ever receive an upgrade? So Pastor Rob Denton, who preached here a while back, we kind of did that pastor swap thing, which was really fun. Pastor Rob and I were going to a pastor's conference together in Dallas, and it was going to be a great conference, and I made the arrangements for a rental car at the airport. And so we get there, we go to the rental car agency, and you know, we walk in and we're like, you know, okay, we're going to get our economy car thing, and we get up to the counter, and the gal says, well, I'm sorry, but all of those cars are, you know, are out being used. We don't have any more of those cars. And I was like, okay, well, what do you, you know, and I was trying to be nice, right? I was trying to be graceful about the whole thing, but it's kind of like, well, what are you going to do for us, right? And she says, well, would you like to have a free upgrade, right? And so I thought to myself, what kind of question is that anyways, right? I mean, of course I want an upgrade. I mean, how about any of you? Any of you want an upgrade? I mean, have any of you gotten to a situation like that, right? And like maybe, you know, someone's doing like, I don't know, some work on your house, and they're like, you know, we didn't have this, but hey, we're going to upgrade this at no cost or whatever like that. I mean, how many of you are going to go, no, I want the inferior model, right? That's not how we work. We want the upgrade. And so we're like, well, of course, you know, I didn't say it that way. It's like, oh, that upgrade would be very nice, right? So she points over to the door, and she says, okay. She says, well, here you go. You go out, and you can have any of the cars in aisle one. And so we walked out there to aisle one, and it wasn't a very hard decision. We simply had to pick whether we were going to drive the black, gray, or red Camaro, right? So, yeah, and since I had one in high school, I'm like, absolutely, I'm going with that, right? And I'm like, upgrade, there we go. This is awesome, right? And abundant life is only found in Jesus. And believe me, I believe that Jesus wants to spoil his kids. I mean, I think that's something as parents that we get from him. I mean, I know your kids are brats sometimes. Okay? I mean, as much as I love my girls, there are times when you just want to, you know, do the, I think it was Irma Bombeck thing, right? When they become teenagers, you put them when they get to be about, you know, 12 years old, you put them in the big barrel, right? And you feed them through the hole. And then when they hit teenagers, you just seal up the hole kind of thing, you know? Kids are crazy. But let's be honest, we want to spoil our kids. I think that's a part of God's image. It's stamped on us. And I believe God wants to spoil, he wants to give us life upgrade. But we have to be close to him to do it. We have to follow him to receive that. We have to stay close to the good shepherd to receive this abundant life. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, and don't hear what I'm not saying. Jesus is not going to just take away all your problems. What I am saying is this, is even when you hit problems, isn't it better to have Jesus helping you navigate than you trying to figure it out? I love the Waze app. Right? Because when I get lost, when I recognize that I'm lost, I obviously am not the one who should be guiding me out of my lostness. Right? So folks, the reality is even when things are bad, even when things go crazy, we need a shepherd. We need one who is going to guide us. And don't you want Jesus on your side when life gets crazy? Don't you want Jesus to be the one that can say, hey, 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 I know you mess this up, but we're going to work through this together. And he never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. And he even walks through the valley of the shadow of death with us because he's a good shepherd. And that's where these verses go. In verse 11, it says, Jesus goes on, he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. He goes on, he says, a hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Now, there's a big difference between renting and owning, right? I mean, when you rent some, I went on this website. It was crazy. I just punched in crazy car rental stories, right? It is bizarre what car rental people say people have done with their cars, right? I mean, people who come in and they treat like the Camaro like a Jeep, right? And they bring it in with broken axles and all kinds of stuff. I mean, the stories that people tell, I mean, I'm just going to let you go, you know, home and look at some of those. But they're insane because people would rather, like, if they're going to do something crazy, they, you know, rent a car, right? I'm not giving anybody any ideas, okay? So, but I remember this, you know, working out in IIF. One time we took the kids and we went, we were going to go snowboarding, right? and we went to Mountain High because it's kind of the closest, easiest access place. Mountain High doesn't always have the greatest snow, especially because we got spoiled because we learned to ski, you know, up in Mammoth and stuff. So we get there, and we're looking at the slopes, and we're like, okay, this is nice and everything, except that you could see, like, these dirt and rock patches in the runs, right? And so we kind of scratch our heads for a minute, and we're like, I know, board rental, right? Because I'm not going to take the good one and kind of run it down there and get it all, you know, jacked up in the mess. And so you just rent one, and then when you rent one, you're just like, rocks? Yeah, no problem, man. I can go right over those babies, right? Because that's what happens with the, you know, if it rental, if you don't own it, right, you're just not into it quite as much. And so the reality is that when you own, you will always care more. And Jesus is the good shepherd, right? He's not the hired hand. He's the shepherd. He owns the sheep. And so Jesus cares more, okay? John chapter 10, it's really a continuation of the story in John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. Okay, you've got this blind man, Jesus heals him, and it sets off this whole crazy chain of events with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees come after the blind man, and they're like, hey, who healed you? And he's like, well, you know, I'm not sure, I think it's Jesus. And they're like, and they start calling him like, you're a liar, you're a sinner. This is what's crazy. They start calling him a liar. Oh, you're just a sinner. You've been a sinner since birth. Do you hear those voices? Like, they're bringing up the past. They're bringing up all this junk in the guy's life, trying to rub it in this guy's face. Why? Because they brought up Jesus. When he brought up Jesus, these voices got intense, and they're like, they're like attacking this guy. And it says they kicked him out of the synagogue, right? Which basically means he got excommunicated, okay? And so when Jesus hears about this, I think it's like in verse 35, it says when Jesus hears about this, that they kick this guy out, Jesus goes looking for him. Jesus goes looking for the guy, and he looks at the guy and he says, hey, don't worry about those guys. So those guys, they're like the hired hands. Those guys over there, they're bad shepherds. Those guys are, you know, they're only in it for what they can get out of it. And so Jesus then, and the guy says, well, hey, I want to know who this is. And Jesus says, it basically just tells him, I am the Messiah, right? And so Jesus develops a relationship with this guy. I mean, Jesus finds this guy and he develops this relationship so that they can know each other. I mean, it tells us in the passage in John 10, he says, the good shepherd is not like the hired hand. It says, the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. See, Jesus is the good shepherd. When the wolf comes, he stands his ground to protect, right? In fact, when the hired hand comes, he just runs off. He's like, nah, you know, oh, you know, got one, sorry. You know, it's like, it's not worth my life. And he, you know, the hired hand just runs off, okay? But Jesus, the good shepherd, right? And he doesn't just stand his ground. I mean, think about it. You think back to the famous shepherd in the Bible, right? King David. King David told us, right? He said, hey, when I was a shepherd, he said, and a lion or a bear came and he grabbed my sheep. It doesn't just say, you know, like I stood there. It says he went after that thing, right? This thing tried to carry off one of my sheep. And David says, man, I went and I love it. He says, I grabbed him by the beard and I drug that thing down, man, and I killed that sheep. See, Jesus doesn't want to just kind of stand. He's not going to stand around and watch you take it, right? He wants to engage with you. He wants to step in. He throws himself in between you and the danger. I mean, when our greatest enemy, sin and death, stood between us and God, Jesus didn't just sit back and leave us on our own. He came down and he stood between us. And he laid down his life to save ours. John 10:14 goes on and says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not of this sheepfold. And I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with the shepherd. So Jesus not only lays down his life for sheep, he says here, the good shepherd knows his sheep, and they know him. I mean, Jesus knows his sheep. He counts them. I mean, he created us. He knows us intimately. And the question this morning is this: do you know him? I mean, do you know him? Not just know some things about him. Do you truly know him? Do you know his voice? I mean, does Jesus' voice cut through all the other voices that are flying around in your head on a daily basis? Does Jesus' voice, through his Holy Spirit living in us, does his voice just kind of cut through all of those so that we can hear him? One pastor said that the thing that keeps us from knowing God more intimately is that we have trouble admitting that we are actually sheep. See, we kind of think, yeah, like, hey, I'm not a dumb sheep, right? I can protect myself. I got skills, right? I mean, that's kind of what we think. And so somehow we think, you know, I'm not a vulnerable, defenseless sheep. I mean, I don't really need somebody else to do the saving. That's a lie that the devil continues to try to squeak in to those voices. What we really believe oftentimes is that, you know what? I mean, I may not be perfect, but I'm pretty good, right? I'm pretty good. I'm pretty smart. I'm capable of figuring some things out, right? Isn't that what we kind of tell ourselves sometimes? But Jesus even said, no, there's only one that's good. Okay? There's only one voice that you can listen to. And here's the problem, okay? Not only are there a lot of other competing voices out there, Your voice competes to take the throne. And the reality is we have to begin to differentiate also the difference between my voice and God's voice. Because I don't know about you, I like to listen to me, okay? Because I think I got it figured out. I'm like, yeah, that's the way I should go, right? Man, I have to learn to hear his voice and, again, differentiate that between what are just kind of my good thoughts or the things that I've kind of like I want to do, because I'm pretty good, again, at convincing myself of the things that I want to do. But I need to hear his voice. You see, sometimes I just want God to be a good consultant, right? I kind of like God's advice. Let's just be real this morning. Some of you just read your Bibles so you can get some good advice. Right? You're like, I'm going to make the ultimate decision. I just would like a little advice. A lot of believers that I know treat God that way. You know? They don't treat him like the King of Kings that he is. They don't treat him like the Good Shepherd and say, that's where we're going? Okay, I'm following you. Right? They kind of like, well, let me hear your advice, God, and then I'll weigh the options. There's a lot of people that do that. And folks, we have to get better at hearing the voice and immediately saying, you know what? I can differentiate those wrong voices. I can differentiate my voice, and it's not just what I think is a good idea. I can hear God's voice, and you know what? I'm following that. I can guarantee you sometimes that voice is not going to be the easiest one to follow, because oftentimes it flies in direct opposition of what I think I want. And those days, man, I just got to hunker down and remember that he is good, okay? That he has good for me, and if I follow him, I will experience his goodness, even when things are difficult. Sometimes I want Jesus to be a good financial advisor, a good repairman. Come on, let's be honest. When we mess it up, that's when we go to prayer, right? Think about it. I mean, it's like, oh, man, God, I really messed it up this week. Can you come in and fix it? I need a repairman, Jesus, right? It's kind of what we do. On the front end, if we'll treat him truly like the good shepherd and listen to his voice ahead of time, well, maybe we would avoid some of that mess. But then even when we do get into a mess, you know, he's not just a repairman. He wants to come alongside and teach us through this process. Sometimes we want Jesus to just be a good therapist. And you know what? The best thing that God, Jesus does is he listens. He listens. But don't ask Jesus to just listen and then not tell you how to follow him. Okay? There's a lot of times when I think we just kind of, you know, we do this in prayer all the time, right? We just kind of, blah, Jesus, you know, here's all my mess, Jesus, right? And then we don't listen to his response. okay? We feel like, I just feel better because I got it out, right? I just feel better because I confessed it. And that can happen. But the reality is don't just kind of throw it out there. Listen to his voice. Because where he will lead you is always good. He is the good shepherd. This is not, I mean, we need to know Jesus. And when we know him, we will trust him and we will follow him. Knowing Jesus is recognizing his voice. And this only happens when we spend time with him. And I encourage you, spend time with Jesus every week. Spend time with him daily. Spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in worship. And allow God's Spirit to remind you of his voice. In just a few minutes, we're going to take communion. In communion, we remember the sacrifice. We remember that the Good Shepherd laid down his life for us. And because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid his life down for us, we can have a relationship with God. He is the only way. He is the only one that can save us. And he doesn't want to just kind of save you and leave you alone. He wants to save you and give you an abundant, satisfying, and fulfilling, and yes, eternal life. And this morning, if you're missing any of that, if you're feeling helpless and harassed, if you feel like you're wandering, if you feel like you're lost, if you feel like you need an upgrade, here's the reality. You need to draw closer to Jesus. Maybe you've accepted him a while back and you've kind of wandered off like that sheep. He's searching for you. And he wants you to return. He wants to be your good shepherd. And he wants to lead you. The question is, will you follow him? And maybe you're here this morning and you've never invited Jesus and you never said, yes, I want Jesus to be Lord. I want him to be the shepherd. I want him to be the guide. I want him to be the one that directs my path. I want him to be the one. If that's you this morning, then I pray that you will seek him out and let him be the good shepherd that he wants to be in your life. Make Jesus your good shepherd this morning. If while you're taking communion this morning, thank him for laying down his life. And as you do that this morning, once again, just say, Lord Jesus, I want you to lead me. I want you to be my shepherd. And this morning, if you do that for the very first time, don't leave here without telling somebody, you know, for the first time, I asked Jesus to be my good shepherd. I would love to talk to you about that, because we would love for you to get on that path of listening more, following more, and learning his voice and letting Jesus be your good shepherd. Because here's the reality. There are a lot of other voices out there. There are a lot of other things. There's a lot of wolves out there that will lead to destruction. But there's one voice, there's one shepherd, there is one way that leads to life. And that is Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for being our amazing good shepherd. Father, thank you that you laid down your life for us. Thanks for being that gate, Father. Thank you sometimes, Lord, in our lives for kind of closing the gate a little bit and directing us in different ways. Father, thank you that what you want for us is always good. It's always better. Father, give us the courage to not just hear your voice, but to follow your voice. Father, help us to realize that, God, you want better for us. And Father, help us to realize this morning, more than anything else, that Lord Jesus, you laid down your life because you loved us, and you still do. We love you, Father, and we praise you. Thank you for this communion representing your broken body and your shed blood. And Lord, as we take this today, we are thankful that you are the good shepherd, the gate, that you laid down your life on our behalf so that we could know your voice and follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.